welcome to The Ordinary Knitter, the knitting podcast that's mostly about the projects. Find it on iTunes through your podcast app or subscribe via the feed link on the website. This week, Christmas knitting, knitting notebooks, and the joy of socks. Hello and welcome to episode 59. My name is Heather. You can find me on Instagram at The Ordinary Knitter, on Twitter as at The Ordinitter, and on Ravelry at Ordinary Knitting. Having just said all that, I don't have a phone at the moment. I haven't had for a couple of weeks. I got it wet about 6 or 8 weeks ago, and initially it seemed to recover after having a bit of a wobbly, but it's just keeled over a couple of weeks ago. Timing. I know Father Christmas tried his best, but I still don't have another one. So because of that, I can't take photos and I haven't been on social media very much. So I don't have, I'm not very good value on social media at the moment, but I'm optimistic within the next few weeks that will change. I hope you've recovered from the Christmas whirlwind. We were 9 to Christmas dinner and we were 13 on Boxing Day. And there's a birthday later in the week and we've still got family staying. So it's been quite busy. And partly for that reason, I'm not going to discuss the goodies that I got for Christmas, the knitting goodies that I got for Christmas this week, though one in particular is very interesting because I haven't really had time for more than just a fairly superficial glance through, and I'd really like to have a good look before I talk to you about that, so we'll save that for next time. So it's been incredibly busy, as I'm sure it has for you, but on the upside we have so many leftovers that I won't need to cook until Easter. It's the 30th of December today. It's traditional at this time of year to do a review of the last 12 months, but I don't want to look back, I want to look forward. Following the example of Helen Stewart from Curious Handmade, because following an example isn't copying, is it? I'm choosing not so much a word for this year, but a principle. Helen Stewart always chooses a word for the year and she applies it to everything. And this is my homage, if you like. I thought it was a great idea. This year, 2017, my principle was knitting for myself, because like so many knitters, you willingly and from the heart knit items for other people. But we need to make sure we knit the odd thing for ourselves as well, whether it's something as simple as a little pair of mittens for the winter, or a cushion cover or a face flannel, or whether you're somebody who is able to make vast amounts of clothing for yourself. You know, it's nice to do something for yourself sometimes, and I did a bit of that this year. The results were patchy in the extreme, but I did learn a tremendous amount. In fact, in a funny way, I sort of peaked early. I said I wasn't going to look back and I'm not, but I will just say that Ivy, which I made at the beginning of the year, although I wasn't convinced about it at first, the actual fit really isn't bad. But after that, fit on items I made for myself became a bit of a running sore. So I've learned a great deal and I'm keen to put that learning into practice in 2018. So my guiding principle next year is going to be attention to detail. I'm pretty good at that on the whole, but sometimes my brain just gets a bit full and I sort of don't want to know and I cut a few corners. So attention to detail will apply to every area of my life, but for my knitting, certainly for garments, for everybody, although I seem to have more success with garments for other people, and maybe I'm just more fussy, but in my knitting it will mean paying great care to the patterns and the yarns that I choose. Making sure an item is going to fit well, so that means making good choices in the first place in terms of how the sizing of an item is graduated, if you like. I seem to come out at a 41 inch bust, I think, and lots of patterns you might have a 38 or a 42 or something like that, and I've always, I mean on that instance I'd have no choice but to go for 42, but I've always erred on the side of making something a bit big. And you know, if you've been listening this year, you'll know what the consequences of that have been. And obviously something I need to do, the holy of holies, is swatching. I haven't done this prior to now, and again I've paid the price of not swatching. So that's going to be my guiding principle for 2018, attention to detail. When it comes to my yarn choices, they've had to change already, as I can no longer handle acrylic, and much of my stash is acrylic. So I was talking in the run-up to Christmas about making hot water bottle covers for both of my children, and I did actually succeed. I thought that my daughter's present was going to have to be given on the needles, and I'd kind of accepted it in my head. I didn't want to have to do it, but I thought, oh, well, you know, c'est la vie. I also wasn't sure that the yarn I had was going to last, but I'm delighted to say the yarn lasted, and I've actually got quite a lot left over, and I got it done in time, albeit on Christmas Eve. But when I was choosing the yarn for my daughter's hot water bottle cover, I didn't want to start a new project in acrylic. At one point in sort of November, I was having to knit, if I was knitting with acrylic, I had to wear nitrile gloves. I'm pleased to say that I'm completely past all that now, but I seemed foolish to start a new project in acrylic. So I chose the Debbie Bliss Cashmerino, which I ordered from Wool Warehouse. My guiding principle for this hot water bottle cover was for it to be cuddly and soft, and Cashmerino is perfect for that. My daughter was given by a friend of hers who had outgrown it a cashmere hoodie a couple of years ago. Oh, it was the most luxurious item. In fact, she's outgrown it. I could probably just have tried to do something clever and cut it up and made it into a hot water bottle cover, but I was sort of, although this wasn't pure cashmere, the hot water bottle cover, that was in my mind when I was making it. I wanted it to be that lovely. So it wasn't insane amounts of money, but it was a bit extravagant. But then the cover I made for my son's hot water bottle was in stash acrylic. So I took the view that they evened out. I sometimes look at what I'm wearing. I often wear secondhand clothing because I actually quite like it. Often go to Sue Ryder, and in the one we have in Leinster, everything's £2. And the lovely things I've got in there, it's just ridiculous. And I sometimes think, you know, I was wearing a coat the other day that I bought in Jigsaw 25 years ago, and then it was about £100, just about bankrupted me for months, but it was so worth it, and I'm still wearing it now, so definitely worth it. But I have the very, very occasional extravagant purchase like that, but when I think, yeah, but I paid £2 for my cardigan and I'm wearing my stepdaughter's old boots, then, well, you know, it kind of evens out, doesn't it? So the plan was with this hot water bottle cover to knit it in plain black and then add a design in duplicate stitch. She's very keen on a Korean pop group called EXO, and their logo is basically a hexagon, and I thought that might be fairly straightforward to put on. And also, when she's older and she outgrows all that, she's then, because I was intending to do the hexagon quite small, I thought she'd just have a discreet motif that doesn't have to be embarrassing when, you know, you're at university. But I chickened out of that part when it actually came to it. As I said, I finished the cover on Christmas Eve, and I couldn't get over in my head how much of a cock-up I'd made of the bauble where I tried to do duplicate stitch. And the thing that really stuck in my mind was how hard it was to unpick. And this black was lovely, and it was all very neat and so, not sleek, but, you know, plain black with no dirty marks or bits of fluff on it or anything. And the thought of ending up with it completely sort of smeared with all these little flecks of white yarn at the last minute on Christmas Eve, I really, really didn't want that. So I just thought, I'm going to leave it. And I talked to her about it, actually. A day or two later, I said, well, look, I was actually going to do this. And she loves the idea. So apparently this pop group, they change their logo from time to time. So I've said to her, give me the one you want and I'll go from there. So I think I'll probably be waiting till she's about 50. But there we go. I used this Cashmerino for this, which I loved. And when my daughter asked me if I would make her another jumper, I had hoped to use Cashmerino in a DK weight for this, because that would have just been ideal. But I've had a bit of a look about, and it seems that Debbie Bliss did used to do the Cashmerino in DK, but it's been discontinued, which is a little bit of a shame. So I'm optimistic, though, that I'll find something else equally luxurious, because it really is. I don't, if you've ever used it, you'll know this. It's lovely yarn. Rather than following a pattern stitch for stitch for this hot water bottle cover, I decided just to follow the principles of a pattern and adjust the stitch count to suit the bottles that I'd bought. And I had a bit of a look around, but I really wanted a pattern that was completely plain. And I found one by Eva Kuhlman, which is, I think it's called All You Need. It's a little bit hard to tell if that's a description or a title, but I can't find another title, so I think that is what it's called. And it's a completely plain hot water bottle bottle cover with a ribbed cuff round the opening part, and there's no buttons, there's no laces. Personally, I don't like buttons on pillowcases, hot water bottle covers, anything like that, duvet covers, because they niggle me at night if I'm getting all snuggly and I find there's a button in the way. So I definitely didn't want that. And I know we've got one or two covers, you know, shop-bought covers that are a sort of envelope design, and they always come open where they meet. And obviously, you know, for a child, I don't want him getting too hot like that. So I was deliberately looking for one that was all of a piece, which is what this one is. And it just worked brilliantly. I love the fact it must have been so hard to write. And I'm enormously impressed that she's released it for free. Impressed, is that the right word? I'm pleased she's released it for free. But, you know, she's put so much hard work into it. She'd have been totally justified in charging for it. But it worked like an absolute charm. I did wonder, as you might do, how do you get a hot water bottle into a cover that has this tiny little neck? It's like getting a ship into a bottle. But it hadn't occurred to me, and I'm a bit disturbed that I've got to 46 and it had never occurred to me before. Obviously, with the hot water bottle empty, you just fold the sides in to the middle, so it's a long, thin piece, and you feed that through the central opening, and then just open out the hot water bottle once it's inside. And you don't normally need to take it out of its cover with any frequency, so I sort of, when I saw that, I was like, oh yeah. Something else I'd like to do more of in 2018 is knit socks. I've knitted something like 8 pairs already for my husband, but I'd like to make more. I do enjoy making them. There's at least one pair in my darning pile which has certainly been ignored lately. I'm not very good at things like that. I do put it off. Quite frankly, I'd rather knit him a new pair than darn an old pair, but I will get round to it. And some of his older pairs definitely are needing it more now, but some of them have been in use for, you know, a good 4 years, being worn once or twice a week, so I think that's pretty good. Sock yarn is quite expensive, as you'll know if you've ever looked for it. I'm not advocating buying 5 pairs for £3 in Primark, but when you can, or 4 or even a fiver, it really puts into sharp relief paying the best part of a tenner for the yarn for one pair of socks. Obviously, you're paying for your pleasure in knitting them and giving them, and definitely in the pleasure of the wearer, but still, it's not, you know, I'm not sort of quickly churning out a pair of socks every few weeks at £8 or £9 a pop. But my local yarn shop has been selling off some sock yarn at half price, and they had a variegated wool mix Stylecraft sock yarn. I think it's 75% wool, 25% nylon, and they've had that at half price. It's called Head Over Heels. They had quite a few colourways, but I don't like really bright colours, especially when they're mixed together. So the only colourway that I was really keen on that they had left was Eiger. I've looked up since, and all of their this range of sock yarn has mountain names, so things like Matterhorn. So Eiger, as you would imagine, it's shades of blue and ice, and it has a little bit of deep reddish pink here and there, and I quite like that, so I bought that. Prior to Christmas, Stitches had Regia sock yarn at half price. I do love Regia sock yarn, but I had so many other things to buy that the cash flow at that particular moment in time just couldn't stretch to that. And of course now, as I sit here surrounded by bags of unopened mince pie boxes and bottles of wine and crackers, the sort you have with cheese, I just wish I'd sacrificed one of those and blooming well bought some more yarn. But there we go, I didn't. I've learnt my lesson. No for next time. The last few pairs of socks that I've knitted have been from a pattern that I have evolved, if you can use evolved in that way, as I've gone from pair to pair, and it's completely suited to my husband's feet. He has wide feet and stocky legs. I'm really painting a picture here. I've got myself a good solid caveman. So stretch in the foot is paramount. I've made him one pair that he's never worn. They're almost like a kilt sock, although he's not Scots, so why I should have made those. They just had that. They're a sort of a Gansey, that type of thing. And he can barely get them on because they have a decorative pattern on them, but no stretch. So I really, really learned my lesson. But that was early on in my sock knitting career. And I realised another point at which I had made a strategic error, which doesn't affect how the sock looks or fits, but it does affect how the patterns come out. So it's fine. You know, I don't mind sort of sacrificing those as part of my learning process. But it definitely... confirmed for me, had I been in any doubt, that stretch is absolutely vital, has to be my guiding principle. And because he has stocky legs and he often wears boots, so, you know, sort of like short boots, so he needs a longish cuff. And I know now that one by one rib gives it, even though, you know, you sort of want to die, basically, it does mean that the socks will stay on his feet pretty well. If you're wearing boots and your socks fall down inside, I get this in my wellies sometimes, I just feel horrible. All the socks bunching up under the sole of your foot. So I wouldn't wish that on him. I used to call this pattern school run socks, because up until a few weeks ago, I did so much knitting waiting at school, but now my school pickup pattern has changed and I go at the last minute instead. So I did wonder if I should come up with a different name for them, but then maybe not. I think the fact that they're called school run socks is just a nod to their heritage, so I'll probably leave it. So within the same stitch count, there are two different decorative patterns that I've done on the top of the foot, either a waffle or a box pattern or a 5x2 rib. And one of in my pattern project sort of library on Ravelry is a pair, all my patterns or projects, oh dear, on Ravelry start with the year and the month. So if you were to look at 2014-07 school run socks camo, which is a pair of sort of green camo style socks, you'll see an explanation of sort of, if not, it's not strictly speaking a pattern, it's an explanation of how I make them, and there's a difference. And what I love about the evolution of this pattern is that it really shows how my approach to sock making has changed over the last 5 years. So when I first started making socks, well, put it the other way around, now the socks that I make, they now incorporate my preferred toe, my preferred heel, and my preferred bind off, and I knit them two at a time, toe up. When I first started making socks, fair enough, you know, but it was a complete contrast. I made them one at a time on DPNs, so serious second sock syndrome. I used a heel flap, I knitted them cuff down, and then I kitchened the toe, and now that just seems like so much faff. So I'm very happy with where my sock pattern is. So I've been considering for this pair whether to do waffle or rib. And although I am still a bit suffering, I'm suffering the vestiges of rib fatigue, but I think the 5x2 rib, 5 knit 2 purl, will show off the yarn better than the waffle. I think the variegation in the yarn will just get a bit lost on the purl side. I'm a bit of a sucker for stocking stitch. It's definitely my favourite finish. And also, looking at the socks I've made previously, the rib has kept its shape better. The waffle looks nice. It looks effective when you've made it, and it looks nice on the foot. But I think that during the day, as it's worn, it becomes looser. And I also think over time, that just the actual sock, doesn't matter whether it's freshly washed, I also think it loses a little bit of its shape over time, whereas the rib springs back into shape really nicely. I was talking about a pair from 2014 just now, and the most recent pair that I've made in a cherry colour, that a rib, they've been worn for about 18 months, they look almost new. So this will be a good test of the Stylecraft yarn. You know, I'm a big fan of Regia, so the Stylecraft has a long way to go to match the durability of the Regia. It's also, I like the Regia to knit with, but the Stylecraft one does have the vital attribute of being able to go in the tumble dryer, which the Regia can as well, although not all Regia sock yarns. I choose carefully, but I'm very happy to give the Stylecraft yarn a chance, but it's going to have to be quite pretty good to match the Regia. Do you keep a knitting notebook? I often scribble on pattern printouts. You should see the one for the guinea pigs at the moment. But when something needs lots of scrawling in order for me to get my head around shaping or at the same time or customising a project, I find my knitting notebook invaluable. It's absolutely nothing special. It's just an A5. Yeah. No, quarto. Oh, well, anyway, it's not as big as A4. Just a lined notebook with, it happens to have one of those little bookmarky things, integral, a little ribbon, that's quite useful. And it has an piece of elastic you can put on the outside, although I haven't stuffed it with bits because it would be too awkward. Every time, I have this problem with recipe books, if you stuff things in, every time you then open a recipe book, things just want to go flying and they're a nightmare and they slide out, so I haven't bothered with all of that. So it's nothing fancy, it's not a special knitter's notebook or anything like that, but it's just been absolutely worth its weight in gold. I was asked a question on Ravelry a few months ago about a jumper that I had knitted, and it was so useful to be able to go back to my very extensive notes on that project to work out what I'd done, how I'd approached a certain bit, because I know I'd been confused about the same thing. It was some decreasing and shaping over rib rows that the first time I did it just didn't make sense to me at all. That particular jumper, it was the first time I had made that for my son, but I liked it so much and it suited him and he liked it that I made him another one when he outgrew it. I've got a feeling, I feel like I've made it three times, but that might just be because it took me so many times to get it right the first time, it just feels like I've made it lots of times. So I've also found notes in there about the socks. I've put down my basic sock recipe. And I was also able to refer to my notes for Taylor, the top I made for my daughter earlier this year. She's asked for another one in a different colourway. And then the real challenge when making Taylor for her is that the pattern is written for stocking stitch, but she prefers garter stitch, so the shaping is quite significantly affected. I'm sure that it will still be a mental workout when I get to doing it, but it will be very useful to have at least the measurements and so on already worked out for it. So although looking at what I've put in the notebook, I don't immediately think, oh yes, that's right, this. But I know that when I get to a point where I'm thinking, oh, okay, that's not going to work out how the pattern says because I'm using a different stitch, I'm sure there'll be sections of the notes I've made that help to just bring it all back to mind. Taylor fits her so perfectly that I'm just going to make an exact duplicate of what I did last time, and it's just great to have all the measurements and everything just worked out already. She hasn't grown or changed shape much since then. I was looking through the notebook last night because I was hoping that I had written out my basic sock pattern. I was fairly sure I had, but I just wanted to check it, and I also wanted to make sure that I had checked out Taylor. Again, I was pretty sure I had, but I just wanted to be certain. And it was a really lovely trip down memory lane. There were things in there I'd forgotten I'd ever made. In fact, there are one or two things that I can't actually work out what they relate to. I think sometimes I sort of have a bit of a scribble around about a project and then perhaps don't actually make it. But there were also projects in there that I recall very well, and it was just so interesting to see how they'd come together. For the last couple of years, I've dated every set of project notes, just the month and year, but when I began, I didn't. But I think probably all I need to do, if I'm that keen, is just go through my Ravelry projects and match them up, and I'm sure for most of them I'll be able to find the project. I even found a page where my son had written out his list of things for me to knit, and he was about 5 when he did it, so it's very cute, and I will absolutely treasure that page. I might even forget it's in there, because I'd completely forgotten it was in there when I came across it last night, so I'm sure I'll have the pleasure all over again of coming across that page another day when I'm looking through. At one point, I had very good intentions of keeping a strand of yarn and the yarn label clipped with each set of notes, and I've done this for one thing, but that's all. It's the exception that proves the rule that I'm not very good at doing that. So maybe that should be my New Year's resolution. The thing is, when I've finished a project or I'm finished for the day or whatever, I don't know how it happens when I knit. I often just things spread around me, and I try to sort of tidy everything up before I go to bed. And if I've got yarn labels and things, just without thinking, I just put them in the bin. So wouldn't it be nice if yarn manufacturers made their yarn labels out of straightforward paper that you could recycle or compost or whatever, rather than that plasticized paper that you can't recycle? Suppose maybe that's something you're more likely to get from an indie dyer, but unfortunately from an indie dyer, it's also more likely that something is rather woolly. So I haven't tended to go down that route. Anyway, I have lots of room left in this knitting book, so one day it will be a fat volume full of knitting memories and I will really enjoy looking at them. So as things stand, the first project I finish in 2018 will be socks, and that feels right. I hope to cast on for them tonight, so they'll just squeak into 2017. The last project that I will have finished in 2017 is another guinea pig. That's number 5, and that one is for my son. He's been very patient as I've made and given away 4 guinea pigs so far, 2 pairs of guinea pigs. So I've made him his own one, which he has christened Smarty. I think that's rather a good name for a guinea pig. I'm looking forward to quietly and calmly getting on with making socks. They're a small project. I was just saying, when I knit, I often end up with things all over the place. When you're doing guinea pigs, you've obviously got your pattern, because it's you can't really wing it, it's quite specific, and you've got wadding and you've got a zillion ends and there are eyes and there are so many bits because you have to make legs and ears and everything. And but when you're doing socks, you don't need stuffing, you don't need different sized needles, there aren't lots of ends to weave in, they're a much neater and very easily portable project. And I've also decided, because I want to, I've got to that point, it's just driving me mad now, I need to go through all the yarns and the odds and ends that have built up across my 3 knitting bags over the last few months. I have small, medium and large knitting bags. As you can imagine, if I'm doing a jumper for my husband, I just about need a suitcase for it. But, you know, sometimes what you're knitting is large, and again with the guinea pigs, you've got wadding, which doesn't come in neat, handy little packs. It comes in a giant bag. And so I have different size bags depending on what I'm doing and where I'm going. And I just want to get everything neat and tidy and sorted out. I've been really, really good about keeping my interchangeable needles not left on their cables and so on. And now that I've kind of sorted out in my head where I'm going with 1 or 2 projects, I can put a few things away. But first of all, I'm going to have to wade through all the Christmas fallout that's gone to die in my office just so I can get to my yarn cupboard. For the last couple of weeks, I've just been leaning in and ramming things into the top shelf, so it's all a bit untidy. And I think probably, just having a quick glance, turning away swiftly, if I look at it the wrong way, I think things will start to fall out. I hope you've had a lovely time over Christmas. Hope you've managed to have a bit of a break. And may I wish you a very happy 2018. Thank you very much for lending me your ears. And I look forward to talking to you next year. Bye.